All right. Well, we're going to get started. People checking out. Maybe some people will join us. This, obviously, basics of free grace theology. Let me tell you a little history of why we do this. I can't remember. Well, it must have been two years ago. We had people attending the conference, and we assume that people understand the terminology we're using and the things we're saying. And we had a guy coming in at the end of the conference. He goes, "What is Lordship Salvation?" This is at the end of the conference. So he said, "Oh, we need to have a class on the basics. We got some first timers and stuff." And so that's what we did. We did this. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I got to yell at Bob. Don't record that, but I'm going to yell at Bob. This should really be at the beginning of the conference. I don't know why, for the new people, you know, like, "Hey, I'm new here. What's going on?" I don't know why he put me. He must be mad at me for something or something, but that's okay. And I don't want to insult your intelligence. I look around and I know that you guys, I know a lot of you guys, you don't need the basics. You know these things, but that's the purpose of it. But we also go into some of the history of GES and what it was like when we started and where we're at today. And again, I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence. I just want you to understand what the course was, or this session was designed to do. And then at the end, we'll have questions. And I'm not here to hear me speak. Whatever you want to talk about. This is kind of a free for all. This is a, any kind of basic questions you might have, or any advanced. If you have any advanced questions, I'll call John Niemela right here. And I'll say, "John, they asked me this, buddy. What's going on here?" So, that's what we'll do. But I hope it's very flexible. I hope this is just a time where we can sit around like you're doing over at the dining hall and just talking about some of these issues, wherever you're at. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time together, and thank you for everyone here. Thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you that our Lord is coming again, and that he's going to establish his kingdom, and we're going to live with him forever. And we just pray that as we study these concepts, that we do so that we can clearly explain the issues to the people that we come in contact with. Father, just give us clarity and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, as I talk about some of these, I think, man, this guy's teaching me like I'm a kindergarten guy. But just remember that guy who asked the question. There was another guy who asked the question who says, "What is a Calvinist, you know, and what is an Arminian?" So that's why we put this together. And last year, we did this at the beginning, the first day. But like I said, Bob must be mad at me or something, so I don't know. Okay, as we talk about this, oh man, what happened here? Yeah. Come on in, Diane. Oh. What is it now? Touch here? Yeah, it must be. Okay, let me look here. It's Apple. It's the problem. Okay, let's see. Well, we'll wait. I'll read the slide to you. We'll wait and see if somebody comes in. Maybe Danny or somebody will. Maybe it'll come on. My slide says this. Free grace theology. When we talk about free grace theology, what we're talking about, some of the principles, is assurance is of the essence of saving faith. And what we mean by that is, at the moment a person believes, they have assurance. They know that they're going to be in the kingdom forever because that's what they're believing in Jesus for. Jesus promises eternal life to everyone who believes in him for it. So if you believe that, then you know you have eternal life because that's what you're believing. Now, that does not mean that you can't lose it later. If I become a believer when I'm 20, I may get exposed to some bad teaching, and then I wonder, well, am I really saved or not? But we're saying that at the moment you believe, you have assurance of eternal life. That's one of the issues of, or one of the principles of free grace theology. And assurance is not based upon our works. I don't find assurance because, okay, I believed and now I'm living a godly life, therefore I feel pretty good about myself. Assurance is based upon the promise of Christ. Saving faith is believing that Jesus is the Christ who gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him for it. Okay, that's the free grace theology principles, or some of them. Now, what about repentance? Repentance, there are some free grace people who define repentance as the same thing as believing. It's a change of mind, I believe. And if that's the way you define it, then great. But repentance, when you look at the New Testament, is turning from sin. And that is not a requirement for eternal life. I don't have to turn from my sins in order to be saved. I need to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. And we're going to talk about later, that's one of the big distinctions between free grace and what we call lordship salvation. Lordship salvation says, I have to make Jesus Lord of my life in order to be saved. And therefore, in order to do that, I need to turn from my sins. And if I don't turn from my sins, then I'm not making him Lord of my life, and therefore I'm not saved. Free grace theology say that's a bunch of nonsense. We don't have to turn from our sins. Let me just say, that's not saying that there are not some unbelievers, maybe a lot of unbelievers, that when they come to faith, they do repent. Like, for example, let's say I'm an unbeliever, and I say, man, I get to know God, my life's a mess. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I know those things aren't good, I'm going to turn from those sins. I'm going to stop doing those things. And then I hear the gospel, John 3:16, and I believe it. A lot of times repentance is used to get people to faith, but the repentance had nothing to do with giving me eternal life. That's what free grace theology is saying. Man, I hate that y'all can't see the slide here. What is faith? Free grace theology says that faith is being convinced that something is true. I believe something when I'm convinced it is true. A lot of people within Christendom define faith in many different ways. They say, well, there's an emotional part of faith. There's a commitment a part of faith. But free grace theology says, and that's why you get the phrase, you hear people say, did you really believe? What kind of faith did you have? Free grace theology says, no, faith is being convinced something is true. And what is it that I'm convinced is true? I'm convinced that Jesus gives me eternal life. He said, he who believes in me has eternal life. Are you convinced that is true? That's what it means to have faith. What is the role of good works in the life of the believer? Free grace theology says that good works do not have any part in receiving eternal life. Good works impact rewards. And I know if you've been here for this conference this week, you've heard that over and over again in 1 and 2 Peter. Good works, we are laying up treasures in heaven with our good works. Good works also involve, and this was in some of the sessions, saving our lives now, the growth and sanctification. Or good works allow us to avoid the discipline of God. If I am a child of God and I'm sinning, God's going to discipline me. Well, I don't want to I want to avoid the discipline of God. And so there's a lot of motivations in free grace theology for good works. But the distinction that we make is that it has nothing to do with eternal life, my good works. For example, if you ask an Arminian, and this is where the newbies come into play, they go, what's an Arminian? Oh, what do I got here? What does that mean? Okay, see if you can magic touch it. Catherine had a little bit of problem with this last time, too.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Maybe someone will come in. For example, what does an Arminian believe? You hear the word Arminian. Arminian believes that good works are necessary to make it into the kingdom of God. They'll say you're saved by grace, but if you don't do good works, you'll lose your salvation. And so good works are necessary in order to make it into the kingdom of God. As I mentioned, lordship salvation. They teach, no, good works, you don't lose your salvation, but if you don't do good works, then you never had it. So they wind up at the same place. You've got to have good works in order to make it into the kingdom of God. And what free grace theology does is they say, no, you've got to divorce those things completely. Good works have nothing to do with entering into the kingdom of God. Take, for example, a Catholic, if they go along with the teachings of the Catholic Church. Well, I got to do the sacraments. I've got to go to confession. I've got to take communion. I've got to, you know, confess my sins. I've got to do, and then hopefully I'm going to go to purgatory, but hopefully I won't be there that long, you know, or something like that. Now, let me just say a little caveat. There are believers who are Arminians. There are believers who are lordship salvation people. What happened is they believed when they were younger, and now they've been duped by this false teaching. There are believers in the Catholic Church. I have a brother-in-law by marriage who is in his 90s. He's been a Catholic his whole life, and he tells me, he goes, I don't believe anything the Catholic Church teaches. He goes, and he gets the GES newsletter, he gets the magazine, he goes, I know that I have eternal life because Jesus has promised it to me. It has nothing to do with works. I mean, you would think he was speaking here at the GES conference. But he says, I've just been a Catholic for 90 years, and I'm not going to leave it. And he says, I'm trying to reform them from within, is what he says. And he has Bibles. In fact, he has a Bible study, and the priest said, you can't teach that anymore because you're teaching nonsense, because he was teaching free grace theology. So, but you get the idea. My slide here is talking about Arminian theology, which I've already touched on. They believe that you can lose your salvation. Who are the Arminians in our society today? Assemblies of God, Methodist as a general rule, Pentecostal churches, Nazarene. Catherine and I speak a lot overseas, and this is what we run into mostly. We run into a lot of Arminians in Africa. The Arminian churches, in fact, when you talk to missionaries, they're not Arminian, but they'll go there and they'll establish a church like their lordship salvation, and then they'll leave, and they'll tell me within 6 months it's Arminian. You know, they establish a church, we're lordship, we're Calvinist, we're, you know, whatever. They'll establish a church. When they leave, it's them talking. Within 6 months, the theology has changed. Let me just say that free grace theology, when you look at the history of GES and stuff like that, or when you look at the discussion of free grace theology, we really haven't dealt a lot with Arminian theology. That really hasn't been the emphasis. When Bob started GES back in the mid-80s, it was not really addressing Arminian theology. It was addressing what we call lordship salvation. Lordship salvation, as I mentioned, they say that you can't lose your salvation. So they disagree with the Arminians. The Arminians say you can lose your salvation, and then you can get it back, then you can lose it, then you can get it back, then you can lose it, and you can get it back. Lordship salvation says, no, you can't lose it. But again, as Jack said, if you don't do good works, you never had it. You weren't a believer in the first place. You're not one of the elect. And GES, from its inception, 95% of what they were doing was addressing that. Because in our evangelical seminaries, such as Dallas Theological Seminary, where a lot of people who teach here at GES, they went there. We didn't have to really deal with Arminian theology, but we did have to deal with lordship salvation. We had to deal with Calvinism. Let me just say something about Calvinism. Sometimes they're connected with lordship salvation. The Calvinist, and there's differences among them, but as a general rule, a Calvinist says God chose who was going to go to heaven in eternity past. Okay, so God chooses you to go to heaven. Sorry, you're a loser. You're not chosen. Now, how do you know if you're chosen? The idea is, if God chose her, he's not going to do it just halfway. If he chose you, yeah, you're going to believe, but you are going to turn your life over to Christ. You are going to make him Lord, because God is going to make sure that happened. That's Calvinism. So you're chosen and you're going to persevere in good works. If you don't persevere in good works, then you weren't chosen. And you can say, well, wait a second, I believe. No, you didn't really believe. That's the way the argument goes. And you thought you believed. You're deceived. Satan has deceived you. And the question then is, well, how many good works do I have to do? And they never answer that. That question is never answered. And by the way, that's why a lot of them will tell you right up front, I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not. R.C. Sproul, for example, toward the end of his life, he wrote a little newsletter, and he said, this is after, quote-unquote, serving the Lord for 60, 70 years. At the end of his life, he goes, I may not be one of the elect. I may not be one. I don't know. You know? And that's the issue. And they're very, quick to quote verses like, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Right? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. So it is a constant looking at your life. Do I have enough works to have some measure of assurance? I can never be absolutely sure, because even if I'm doing good right now, and how do you define good? Even if I'm doing good right now, what will I be doing a year from now? Maybe I'll have a child die, or maybe I'll get cancer. And I'll get mad at God. I don't know. And if that happens and I turn my back on God a year from now, and I don't know that's going to happen or it's not going to happen, then I'm not of the elect. And so you can't have assurance of salvation. Of course, free grace theology says no. When you are convinced that Jesus gives you eternal life, at that moment you are assured that you have it, regardless of what happens in the future. And that's a distinction. I'm going to tell you, this was years ago. I was at Fort Hood with Jack. I attended a church, and true thing, the elder was speaking, and here's what he said. This is how insane this is. He was talking about his kids, and he said, I know for a fact that God will never allow one of my children to die. And I was listening to that, and I said, I didn't, and someone asked him, or he just brought, well, how do you know that? Here's what he said. Strict Calvinist. He says, because if one of my children died, I would curse God and deny the faith, and he'll never let that happen because I'm one of the elect. Now, that's an extreme thing of it, but it's logical. You know, if you think about the Calvinistic thing, well, a Calvinist says, for example, you can never deny the faith, because if God chose you, you'll never deny the faith, because God is going to ensure that you live a godly life. Okay? Well, and this guy readily admitted, he goes, yeah, I would deny the faith if my child died, and therefore God ain't going to let that happen to me. But what an arrogant, I don't want to say what else I want to say, but what an arrogant, because what he's saying then is, for the people who go through such like that and deny the faith, he'd be very quick to say, well, he's obviously not of the elect. But I am, because God would never let that happen to me. And just stuff like that just irritates me to no end. Okay. But that is, to different degrees, Calvinism and lordship salvation, I think it's safe to say, is the predominant theology of evangelical non-Arminian churches. And GES was founded to respond to that. Zane Hodges' book, Absolutely Free, Grace and Eclipse, all those are addressing that issue. So that's the history of GES. My slide here that you all can't see, Lordship Salvation, I've already kind of said this. It agrees with free grace theology that eternal salvation cannot be lost, but they deny adamantly that you can be assured of your eternal salvation. They will say, Lordship Salvation people will say, well, if you teach you're assured of salvation and you can live however you want, well, then you're just going to go out and live like the devil. Right? Or they're going to say, that's easy believism. That cannot be true. And they believe that assurance, and now there are a few exceptions who will say, oh, no, but they're not being consistent. Assurance cannot be obtained in this life. And that's why you'll hear free grace people say assurance is of the essence of saving faith. If I believe that I have to do good works in order to keep my salvation or in order to prove my salvation, then I have not understood the offer of eternal life. That's what free grace theology holds. Now we're going to get a little more controversial issues here. It's on this slide, so I'll bring it up. Again, when you talk about a Lordship Salvation guy, when they say, well, what is faith? What does it mean to believe? They're going to say a typical response is, well, faith is intellectual, emotional, and volitional. I don't know what that means. But that's what they say. What they're trying to say is you got to really believe. It's not enough to be convinced that Jesus gives you eternal life. You have to have an intellectual part. Okay, I see what Jesus is saying, but I also need an emotional part. I have to be emotionally invested in that. What does that mean? Well, I'm not really sure, but they're going to say something like, if you don't feel sorrow for your sins, something like that, you know, okay, I got to have an emotional aspect, so I've got to feel sorry for my sins. I've got to beat myself or whatever the case may be. I've got to weep, whatever. And then there's a volitional part, which means I've got to make a decision of some kind. And that's usually defined something like, I'm going to turn my life over to the Lord. That's the way they define faith. You got to know what John 3:16 says. Yes, but you've got to realize you're a sinner. You've got to have sorrow for your sins. And you've got to be willing to decide to leave that sin behind and follow Christ in discipleship. If you don't do that, then you haven't exercised belief. You have not believed. And by the way, anybody who's been in ministry for longer than 10 minutes, you know what I'm talking about, because people will come to your office and they'll say this. Heard it a million times. I don't know if I really believed. That is the product of that kind of teaching. Now, here's the controversial part. And you all can throw tomatoes at me if you want. That's okay. Is the Arminian gospel a saving gospel? Is the Lordship Salvation gospel a saving gospel? For example, let's say I preach and I say something like this. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe he rose from the dead, and if you're willing to turn your life over to him in Lordship and obey him the rest of your life and persevere to the end of your life, and do good works to show that you're saved, or however I say it. Is that a saving message?
No.
Free grace theology says that if that is the only message you've ever heard, then you've not believed the saving message. We're about to talk about some changes in the free grace movement. There are people today who say that they're free grace. They would say that is a saving message. Now, they don't agree with it, but you can be saved by that. We're going to talk more about that later. Free grace, I'll use a word here. Focused Free Grace, GES, says that even though there are people in these churches that are saved, they were not saved based upon the gospel that those churches are preaching. They've heard the gospel some other place. Or on their own, they read John 3:16 and they believed it. And they knew they had eternal life. And then they got screwed up 5 minutes later based upon what was being taught. Okay. But the Arminian gospel and the Lordship salvation gospels are not saving gospels. If I tell you that if you want to go to heaven, you have to turn from your sins and make Jesus Lord of your life, I have preached you a false gospel. That's the difference. Okay? But we're about to see not all people who call themselves free grace believe that now. At first, when GES started out, they did. But there's been a split within the free grace movement. Okay? The slide here just talks about free grace theology, talks about rewards. All believers are going to enter the kingdom of God, but not all believers are going to be equal in the kingdom of God. Let me just talk about that for a second. Arminians believe that pretty much everyone is going to be equal in the kingdom of God. Now, why do they believe that? Because in their theology, all believers do good. There aren't any unfaithful believers. Because if you're an unfaithful believer, you're going to lose your salvation and you're going to be in hell. So all believers are faithful. All believers are victorious. All believers are going to be equal when they get to the kingdom of God. Lordship salvation people believe the same thing. Lordship salvation people say, well, you can't lose your salvation, but if you're not a victorious Christian, you were never saved to begin with. God didn't pick you. Sorry. Okay, so if you're not a victorious believer, you aren't going to be in the kingdom of God. Only victorious believers are going to be in the kingdom of God. That is why if you go to an Arminian church, if you go to a Lordship Salvation church, I can almost say you will never hear rewards spoken of because there aren't any rewards. What is the reward? The reward is you're going to make it into heaven. That's the reward. But you can hear even at this conference, when we're looking at 1st and 2nd Peter, if you're around free grace people, you're going to say, okay, shut up. I've heard enough about rewards. I don't want to hear any more about it. I mean, that's the difference, you know. And we teach that there's going to, my thing, well, did you do anything to make it work? What, did you do any magic thing? We were fooling with it.
I left.
Yeah, you left. But, yes, and so one of the differences of free grace theology with the other theologies, whether we're talking about Lordship Salvation or Calvinism or Arminian, is it is a very strong emphasis that God, Christ is going to reward believers in the kingdom of God. There will be carnal believers. There's going to be a lot of carnal believers who enter into the kingdom, but they're not going to be great in the kingdom. They're not going to be reigning with Christ in the kingdom.
What did you do?
I don't know what I did.
Okay.
I'll just go back to whatever. I think they're following me. If not, they can say, we didn't follow you.
I don't know what slide you were on.
That too. Go back.
Were you on this one?
No.
Oh.
Go back one. That was there. There. That's where I was at. Talking about rewards.
Things have been persnickety.
Yeah.
Say that.
I'm sorry about it. Yeah, it's fine.
Hey!
What'd we do? Just don't touch it. Don't touch it. You can understand this. A Lordship Salvation person will say, for example, or a Calvinist will say, there's no such thing as a carnal believer. You can be carnal for a little bit. You might maybe 6 months, but God will not allow you to remain in that situation. We just did some videos, and we were listening to some Arminians, and Bob wanted me to respond to it. He responded to some, and in the video there was an Arminian preacher, and they said, "You can fall in the mud if you're truly saved." But you can't wallow in the mud. That's very typical. And Arminian would say that because they say, well, if you waller in the mud, and by the way, they never define what does it mean to waller. If I commit adultery once, is that okay? What if I do it 10 times? What if it's 20? When do I waller in it? You know, the Lordship Salvation person would say the same thing. They would say, if you waller in it, then you weren't saved in the first place. Give you an example. I'll ask you all. Rabbi Zacharias, was he saved or was he not?
He was.
I would say, if he believed the gospel of grace, he's saved. Now, I don't know if he did or not. No one knows. I mean, I don't know. But if he did, but what is an Arminian going to say? Arminian's going to look at him and say, oh, he was saved. I heard him speak. He spoke the truth. But those prostitutes and all that, no, he lost his salvation. And I haven't actually heard some lordship guys talking about it. They go, I'm pretty sure he's not going to be there, you know, because he did not persevere to the end, which shows that he was not of the elect. He never really believed. Okay. I cannot tell you how many times through the years I've talked to people in evangelical churches who have told me, I mean, people who have, well, Jerry, what about at First Baptist? Who have been going to church for 50 years and said, I've never once heard anybody talk about rewards. Not once. And it's interesting because at GES, and I've heard Zane Hodges say this, it's on every page. That's probably a hyperbole, but not much. It's on every page of the New Testament. Rewards, you know, it's everywhere. And it's amazing how most within Christendom are completely blind to it. Yeah, they don't see how. All right. So like I said, in early GES history, again, this is just the basics, that's what we dealt with. And I have to tell you, for my life, this was the most important thing it did for me. When I first started out with GES, probably in the late 1980s, I was going to DTS, and most of the teaching I was getting was lordship. Most of the teaching I was getting was Calvinism, and I was just confused. I was just like, what's going on? I didn't know how to connect it, and the teachings of the early GES just meant the world to me. But then there was a split. There was a split in the Free Grace community. Probably we could look it back about 2006 in that time frame there, which is what Mike Lee calls the flexible guys and the focus guys. And what I mean by that is all of these guys believe that you're saved by grace, that you cannot lose it, that there's going to be rewards in the kingdom of God. There's going to be differences. They believe that there can be carnal believers. There's going to be carnal believers in the kingdom. They believe that lordship salvation messes up a lot of passages. We all agree with all of that. But there was a split in the movement. And here's the things they hold in common. You don't have to make Jesus Lord of your life. Believers will not persevere to the end. They would all say, for example, that if Rabbi Zacharias believed in the gospel of grace, he's going to be in the kingdom of God. All these people, believe that. And they believe that, these guys all have assurance. All these flexible free grace guys, if you ask them, they will say, I know absolutely sure that I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. Even if I murder 50 people and become a prostitute, whatever the case may be, I know that I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. They have that all in common. But here's where they differ. Flexible free grace people, and let me just say something about this. Now, I'm talking in general here. If you talk to a flexible free grace guy, if you talk to 10 of them, there might be one who says, well, I don't believe that, you know, can, you know, whatever. But I'm hoping I'm being faithful. I hope I'm being fair to what they believe. And I think what I'm about to say is they would pretty much agree with this. Here it is. Assurance. They do not believe that assurance is of the essence of saving faith. And what I mean by that is this. They would say that an Arminian guy who hears the gospel, and that's all he ever hears, he says, okay, to make it into heaven, I've got to believe and do good works. Flexible free grace guys would say, that is not true, but that's saving. That person is saved. In other words, you don't have to have assurance of salvation in order to believe the promise of eternal life. You don't have to do that. Assurance is something that a believer can learn later. So assurance is a sanctification issue. A few years ago, I was at a flexible free grace conference, and one of the breakout sessions was, the title of it was, Is the Gospel of the Catholic Church Saving? The church, the message that the Catholic Church teaches. Is that a saving message? In other words, the Catholic Church says, okay, Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he's deity, he was born of a virgin, but if you want to be saved, you've got to go through the sacraments of the church. Is that a saving message? And there was a big debate in there. and they didn't, like, raise hands, but I got the impression that probably 60% said yes. That would be a saving message. If you're familiar with Ken Wilson's book, The Heresy of Grace Evangelical Society, that's his position. His position is the Catholic Church's gospel is a saving gospel. He would say, I disagree with it. It's not, I hit it, didn't I? He would say, I don't agree with it, but that you can be saved believing that. Eternal security is true, they say, but you don't have to realize it. You can learn it later, or you may never learn it. You may grow up in an Arminian church and be afraid of going to hell your whole life, and you think, I've got to do these good works in order to make it into heaven. You can live your whole Christian life that way. It's sad, but you're still saved, is what they would say. What they flexible free grace people say is you don't have to believe in Jesus for eternal life. You have to believe in Jesus for something. For example, if you believe that Jesus was sent from God, you're saved. If you believe that he has forgiven you of your sins, and if you got to keep doing good works and you'll make it into heaven, you're saved. If you believe God is merciful to you, you're saved. Now, they do differ when you ask them, well, what about this case? They go, well, I'm not sure that will do it, but that's the point. You don't have to have assurance and or any of that thing. They would disagree among themselves a little bit. One free grace guy said, for example, remember when the publican and the Pharisee are praying at the temple? And what does the publican say? God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you do that, flexible free grace guys will say you're saved. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. You don't have to know for sure you're going to be in heaven, but God be merciful to me, and I'll try to do good. You know, I'll try to follow you. I'm not going to give you any guarantees, and I know that if I don't do good, I'm going to burn in hell forever, but be merciful to me. That's a saving message. Okay? And so there was a split, you know, in other words, a flexible free grace. In other words, they're called flexible because what they say is there's more than one saving message. You can believe a number of different things. In my conversations with them, for example, I've asked them a couple times, like, for example, what about Church of Christ? You're sitting in a Church of Christ pew and all you ever heard is you must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Is that a saving message? The flexible free grace guys almost always will say yes. That's a saving message. And so they would say, remember, GES started out addressing lordship salvation. Flexible free grace people would say, yeah, the lordship salvation people, they get a lot of things wrong, but they're still brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to work with them. We can work with them. That's what they would say. And they would point at people like me who are focused free grace and say that we are unnecessarily divisive. That's what's going on here. Most of the time, I think a flexible free grace person would say this. If a person believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they're saved. If you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you're saved. Well, that raises all kinds of questions. Like I said, the Catholic Church believes that. So is that a saving message? Church of Christ believes that. Is that a saving message? The Pentecostals believe that. Is that a saving message? You know, so the Pentecostal says, yeah, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and if you don't smoke or chew or go with girls who do, you might make it into heaven, right? We would say that's a false gospel. That's a works-based gospel. Oh, by the way, another thing about flexible free grace people is they will say this. If you are in a context where people do not believe in the eternal security of the believer, you should not teach that. I'll give you an example. I told you I go to Kenya, I go to Zambia, I've also been to Ukraine. When I went into those churches, they said, we believe that you can lose your salvation, Arminian strain. Flexible free grace people say, if you go into a situation like that, you should not mention eternal security because you will turn people off. You should not have mentioned assurance of salvation because you'll turn people off. Just preach Christ. He died, rose from the dead. Just preach that. Don't tell people they know they have eternal life because it'll be offensive to them. Meaning of faith among flexible free grace people, it's very confusing when you talk to them. They have different opinions. For a flexible free grace guy, what does faith mean? They'll say sometimes, well, yeah, there is an emotional part of it. There is a volitional part. There's differences among them. So my summary, then I want to leave it all up to you all for questions here, okay? My summary is, at first, free grace was united in addressing the issues of lordship, salvation, and Calvinism. But today, it's much more tricky because you'll hear people say, well, I'm free grace. I'm free grace. But we mean different things. So it's a little bit harder to distinguish those things. We at GES, focused free grace people say there's only one gospel that saves, and that is believing in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, and you know you have it when you believe it. Flexible will say, no, that's too, what word am I looking for? Yeah, too restricted. It's too focused. It's too, we're excluding people. And let me just say this, and I got to shut up here, but here's the deal. A lot of these flexible free grace guys, when I first started out, man, those were guys I looked up to. I mean, I gave out their books. I'd come to conferences. I'd sit there and listen to them. But there was a change in 2006. And if you want to know why each one individually changed, you'll have to ask them. But that's what happened. All right. Questions, comments, anything that's not clear. Oh, yeah, Jack.
So you kind of walked right up to the edge of this. But the place where I see the most inter-free grace concern is that, as you stated it, belief in Jesus for leaves out the notion that he died on the cross and in that sacrifice took our sins away, mm-hmm. from upon himself. And if that's not in your notion of belief, how you would define that word, then what you're saying is not, it's heresy. It's not. So how do you account for, and I understand the notion of the people clearly, there's evidence in the Bible of people saved, before Jesus is crucified. But all this, all of us live in that post-crucifixion world.
Right.
So does dispensationalism not, I mean, where does that kick in this conversation in understanding whether or not that has to be a part of what you believe?
That's a great question. What about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ? Where does all this fit in? Let me just say that I think, based upon my experience, most flexible free grace guys, would say, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, some of them do. Some of them say you have to believe in the in it as well. But again, if you believe Christ was sent by God, you're saved. If you believe he forgave you of your sins, the flexible free grace guy says you're saved. What we at GES have said is on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is that there's only been one message of salvation, that eternal life is given in the Christ. In the Old Testament, they believe he was coming. In the New Testament, we believe he's come. Do I have to know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Focus GES would say no. We use that to explain why he can give eternal life. And probably, other than children, I think if we're talking to adult, 99.999999% of the time, we're going to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection, because that is the means by which he can give us eternal life. But if you ask very specifically, does a person have to understand that in order to believe in Jesus for eternal life? We would say no. We would say it would be illogical for someone to believe that. And that's why we preach it or teach it. But yeah. But my experience with flexible free grace guys would be, yeah, you don't have. We would have that in agreement.
Maybe there's a third group then.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people I've encountered that
sure.
would hold the if you're
oh yeah there's a third group yeah
they would hold the flexible stuff is nonsense
right
and even this is too liberal
you yes
you have to have that post crucifixion understanding of what that did relative to your sin as his sacrifice
sure. Yeah, there would be a third group. Yeah, they would say that you have to explain that to them. By the way, on that question, a lot of times, now I don't know about the group you're thinking about, but a lot of times they will say you also have to understand the deity of Christ. So I think that was in one of the sessions, right? The death deity and DDR or whatever, the death deity and resurrection. I find that kind of interesting because whenever I hear even them preach the gospel, I don't ever hear them preach the deity of Christ, you know? So it's kind of an interesting thing, you know, and then my question is how much of the deity of Christ do you have to understand? Let me ask you a question. Don't shout out out your answer, but when you believed, did you understand the deity of Christ? And if you did, what did you understand of the deity of Christ? I didn't. I was in a Zoom class one time and I asked them, there were about 20 people in there, and I said, did you understand the deity of Christ when you believed? 19 of them said no. One of them lied. Yeah, John.
One of the very first controversies, I've been with GES since 1986.
Mm-hmm.
One of the very first controversies was the accusation against St. Hodges that you were preaching a crossless gospel.
And that's what Jack is
and,
yeah, uh-huh.
And he went to great lengths to refute that. And he says, I always preach the cross because the resurrection is proof that Jesus is the Messiah. And the scripture says the only entity, person, who can give you eternal life is the Messiah.
The one who's conquered death,
and,
right.
Mm-hmm. By dying and resurrecting. You have to have a death and a resurrection to get a resurrection.
Sure.
So we have to preach, this is Zion's word, we have to preach the cross to prove that Jesus is the Messiah.
The one who, yeah, the Christ who gives, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But there were other, you mentioned, there were other schisms and you know, the Jody Dillos and the Bings and the others. Was fundamentally that said, just exactly what is it you have to believe about Jesus in order to believe him for eternal life. And that's where we get the death, divinity, and resurrection crowd.
Let me pick up on what John and Jack are saying here. Let me ask you all a question. If an unbeliever, let's say an unbeliever, now I know Zane did his deserted island thing, but I'm going to expand that. I'm going to expand it. Suppose you are an unbeliever and you know nothing about Jesus Christ, and you pick up the Gospel of John. Now, he only used one verse. I'm going to pick up 11 chapters. You read the first 11 chapters. John 3:16, John 5:24, John 6:47, John 11 with Martha, I'm the resurrection of life. And you read that and you believe everything in there. Are you saved? There's no death, burial, and resurrection there. And that's the point. You know, yes. Final salvation is crazy. I went to when I was in the Army, I was sent to Southern Seminary to get a degree to teach ethics, and Schreiner was on my thesis committee, and he's the one who picks it. It is absolutely insane. What they're saying is, yeah, you're saved by grace initially, but you got to have works to get final salvation. At the final judgment, your works are going to determine. They're wanting to have their cake and eat it too. Yeah, you're saved by grace, but that's only initial. You talk about sophistry. You talk about there's a Greek word I can use this in Philippians 3, scubala, which means manure. Where Paul says, I count all things as scubala. That's scubala because they're wanting to say, yeah, you're saved by grace, but you got to have works. And it's just nuts. And it's you can dress it up in all this academic language, which is just absolutely crazy. Yes, Diane.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want me to name the organization or not, but it's on their website.
Sure.
I just was curious what they said about their salvation. And all they say, although the new organization was officially formed for a different reason, the Free Grace Alliance split from the Grace Evangelical Society in 2005 when most of the prominent leaders, including the chairman of the board, within the society rejected the change in the content of saving faith being taught by Zane C. Hodges.
And he's talking about assurance, right?
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. They don't say what it was. And the Grace Evangelical Society changed its doctrinal statement regarding the content of saving faith. And it goes into more.
And they didn't. Yeah, and they didn't. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Bernie?
Yeah, I like to say, and I think this is accurate, you know, Zane did say it was essential to preach the cross.
Yeah.
And for those who say you have to believe in the death, burial, resurrection, I think it's more accurate to say, or isn't it more accurate to say, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ is the basis upon which he can legitimately offer everlasting life. Whoever believes in him for it.
Perfect.
And for the from the dispensational aspect of, you know, what about, you know, after the fact, is that the Gospel of John was written
after the fact. Yeah.
Many years after the death, burial, and resurrection, and if it was necessary to believe that, John would have had to have said so.
Great point.
And since that was the theme of his book, he would have said so.
Absolutely. And again, to go to Jack's point and Bernie's as well, I certainly, every time I preach the gospel, I preach the death, I preach that he died on the cross. I'm not sure I always mention him being buried. Maybe I do, I don't know, but certainly the death and resurrection of Christ, and we certainly do it, but you're right, it's a means. I remember years ago somebody I think it was John Niemela, said, the way it is when you plant a watermelon seed and a watermelon grows, do you have to understand Do you have to understand how that watermelon grew out of that seed, or do you just have to have faith that it's going to grow? And the point of the death, burial, and resurrection is the why, or how it happens. Same with eternal life. So, anybody else? Yes, sir.
So the observation is, well, you just believe in Jesus.
Exactly.
Which I think leads to the ambiguity that you've described.
Yeah.
But so how do we address that as focus free racers? How do we address that observation? You know.
Right. He gives a purpose statement in John 20. That you might believe that he is Christ, and by believing you might have life. And that's what it means to believe in him. To believe in him, believe in his name. He gives the purpose in John 20, 30, 31. And he also does it with Martha. I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me, though he, here, what is it? What, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he who believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? That's what it means to believe in him.
If you say, just as simply, if I look at you and say, believe me. What's the meaning? What are you going to ask? Believe what?
Sure.
You know, it's obvious. Everlasting life is what you get.
Right.
It's the same thing Paul said in Timothy.
Yeah.
I just think it's bizarre to me.
Believe in him, believe in his promises, right?
Believe in what he says, right. I believe in him, yes. Yeah.
The Gospel of John, everybody, I think, at least everybody here would agree, it's the Gospel of life. And so it is very bizarre to me that we are taking the Gospel of life.
Yeah, you don't have to believe in him for eternal life.
Between the Gospel of John and the Synoptics, we're talking about Jesus and all four. What is it that is unique about the Gospel of John is that he's the one that gives life. So to eliminate the eternal life from the Gospel of John is to basically ignore the book.
Well, guys, I'm 7 minutes over. I'll stay here all day. It's fine. But hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to the conference. If I don't get a chance to say it again, and you got one more plenary down there, which should be great with John Niemela. Thank you all.
Nate, my mom was